Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
Well, hello and happy holidays. As you can see from the video, if you're watching the video on YouTube, we kind of got a crazy start because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Here we are, Robert.
Yes, here we are. Welcome, Jim Felder. You haven't seen him in a long time, and Jim is sporting a Santa Claus beard for the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, it's
about a month and a half old.
You know how long it takes me to grow something like that? Like 6 months.
Oh, yeah. This is like number three, I think, third time.
The third time around in your whole life?
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
No. I used to sport a beard back in the 80s when I had a mullet.
Wow.
They've come back.
Wow. Yes, they may have come back. They have. But not that good.
Not necessarily a good reason. But
so if you're wondering who that female voice is.
Yes, that female voice is our special guest.
Special guest.
So let's say hello to Lisa Mast.
Yeah, welcome.
Like a ship mast. That's what she told me.
That's right.
Because I keep putting mass as in like Catholic mass. M-A-S-T. Let's pray.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's M-A-S-T. So tell our listeners a little bit about you.
So I'm the founder of Scissortail Digital, which is all about helping people enjoy their photos, tell their stories, and build their skills around photography. And that looks like professional photo organizing, digitizing, and design services. I am a photographer, but that has not been my sole professional description. I grew up here in Oklahoma, college in Kansas and Virginia. Then I taught in Virginia, Albania, New Mexico, and came back to Oklahoma in 2019, primarily for personal and family reasons. But that also led me to making some professional shifts and here's Scissortail Digital.
And that's how we got started. So that's a great story for the listeners. But, you know, we were at Thirsty Thursdays for Metro, and she mentioned Albania. And I'm like,
What?
Like Albania, New York, or Albania, the country?
The one north of Greece.
Well, I'll just say I'm a little intimidated. She's very well-spoken. She sounds very intelligent. And she's beautiful. And I mean,
and she's a woman, so that intimidates you.
Yes. I feel, you know. Anyway, it's great to have.
Well,
you.
I have to say,
I can't wait to hear more.
Her conversation skills are amazing. So I actually rode my motorcycle along the coast through Albany on the way to Albania to teach a motorcycle safety class in Greece. And she's like, "Oh, what places do you went through?" I'm like, "I can't pronounce the names." And, you know, we would stop and would camp on the side of the road and get some wine.
It's been a few years, and you weren't following Google Maps at the time.
No, there was no Google Maps back then. And there was no GPS. There was no nothing. You had paper maps that you would pick up at a gas station.
Well, and I was particularly interested because the infrastructure in Albania, let's just say it's continuing to develop.
Right.
But at that point, it would have been very much less than it is now.
So oh, a lot.
That's why I was really interested in hearing.
Yeah, we were basically in a war zone. We were in a war zone. Yeah. We were traveling. We had American plates on the license, on the plates on the motorcycles, and we had our military ID in our boots.
Right.
But we were traveling on tourist passports, blue passports, not the red official passports.
Yeah.
Just because. But, you know, people, they didn't shy away with us. They were very friendly.
You will experience hospitality in Albania unlike anywhere else on the planet. Their concept of besa is to honor guests above all else.
Oh, yeah.
It is one of the most amazing places on the planet. I love it so much. And my story there is rather long and complicated, but the short version is it comes down to relationships, right? And I had the opportunity to move there. And the challenges I had there weren't because of the country or the culture. Like, you can have difficult working relationships anywhere on earth.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately happened to be part of my story there. But what came from that time were relationships with people that have continued. Some of my students there came, like, "Tell me more about where you went to school." That's ended up with them coming to my alma mater and the continuing relationship. I've done some of my graduate research there. Yeah, that's a whole other podcast, is talking specifically about Albania. But yeah, Robert and I definitely, we met at Photocon.
Yes, we met at Photocon through Chris Martin.
We did.
Yeah. We did, which is interesting. However, just so Jim's in the loop, because I got to loop him in.
That's right.
We're going to have another podcast with her next year when she's planning the photo workshop trip to Albania.
Yes.
Oh.
So that's global lens travel and global lens learning. And I had the opportunity slash challenge crisis or whatever a couple of years ago saying, what do I actually want to be doing here? And it came to me being able to really narrow down what I cared about, right? And one of those things that I care about a lot is story. And paired with that is also relationships, right? And kind of this personal manifesto of, I truly believe that when we have authentic experiences with people whose stories, backgrounds, traditions are different from ours, it completely changes the way that we see the world. And when that spreads, good things happen, right? Because you have a greater appreciation and understanding for somebody else's story, right? And it just, it changes your lens.
Yeah.
So that to me is having a global lens. And it's partly through the way I'm literally capturing the world through my camera lens, but in turn, that sharing that and the engagement that I have with those subjects and with my experiences, it's completely changed me, right?
Right.
And when I can help other people have not the same, but I can lead them to help facilitate a similar experience that's going to change the way they see things, that's where I want to spend my time. So I see photography as a tool. My degrees are all in music and education and conducting. So I've got that side of things. I think photography and music, food and travel, those are the best ways to be able to make those connections.
Anytime somebody mentions music.
Anytime anybody says music, the only thing that goes through Jim's head is, I should have brought my djembe.
No, not at all. I just love music.
Yeah.
So what is it, well, we don't have to talk about the workshop necessarily, but what is it you're going to, what's your expertise that you're going to teach and share with others?
I'm just curious. In that context with Albania? So that, I'm very, very fortunate to have the contacts that I do over there.
Uh-huh.
And I think, well, I know there is a big difference between travel and tourism and intentionally traveling. Right?
Yeah.
And you can go to a place and not really engage with it. You can just take the selfies and keep on driving and post it on Instagram and move along. I want to help people be able to have like a 2-week experience of actually engaging with the culture, to hear people's stories. Like, let's talk about where Albania
is. It's
kind of
like intense street photography.
Yeah. And really, it is.
Yeah.
To possibly even be in people's homes because they're hospitable and they want that, to stay in small boutique hotels and guest houses, to go to places that you can't go if you don't know somebody.
I'm seeing total video here.
And music.
Documentary kind of video.
Food there's just so much there. And it's a place where honestly your dollars can make a difference, right?
And they go further.
You can go to a place and be like, okay, what are the very best restaurants in the country? Okay, we're going to go to those, right? And also, like, you get souvlaki for like $1.50, which is like a hero or something, right? And I learned to love coffee in Albania because you can have a macchiato for 80 cents. I mean, and it's good coffee. There's more coffee bars in Albania than anywhere else in Europe.
That's unfortunate because I hate coffee.
Great. Going and having a coffee might also mean like fresh squeezed juice or something else. You don't have to have the coffee.
Sure.
Right? Milk. He's a milk drinker.
Milk and water.
Milk and that's all he drinks. And then there's nothing wrong with that.
Fruit smoothies.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if they have Jamba juice of Albania.
No.
Tropical smoothies.
But they do have Albania fried chicken.
Oh, hey. That's
but
good.
Actually,
I love chicken.
That is now officially a KFC. It had been AFC.
Oh,
anyway.
Really?
Yeah. It's right across from the old dictator's house. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very crazy stuff. Okay. So with all those wonderful things,
one of the reasons,
all the teasers for the future episodes, you know, being that it's the holiday season and the more we talk offline, her business is wrapped around, at least one portion that attracted me was backing up, ensuring that the memories that you capture on trips to Albania or your family, friends during the holidays, that you're able to find those photos and do something with it later. And it's just not wrapped up in someone's iPhone that if they drop it, those images and memories are gone forever. So tell us a little bit about that. That's what I think is really focused for photographers, because the horror stories of photographers, I edit on a laptop and I back up to a single hard drive.
that just fell off the couch when the dog jumped, and I lost 6 weddings I was working on. It's crazy that people do not understand backup systems.
Right. So
until they...
Yeah, until it's too late.
Circumstance forces them to, right?
Yeah.
So most of the listeners to this podcast are professional photographers. And
I would say no.
No? Okay. No.
Yeah, they're...
That's correct.
They're,
we have a wide range.
Perfect.
Right. Mostly beginner to mid. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So kind of the master of digital asset management is Peter Krogh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of his work has to do with professional photographers, I think. I don't think it's as accessible to the person whose primary camera is their iPhone. And right. there's nothing wrong with that. Right. I want to be very, very clear. I do not place value on your gear. I think it's what you do with your gear. Right?
Yeah.
And you can have the conversation around whether you're taking photos or making photos. Both are valid. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a system that ensures they're backed up and accessible, you could lose all of it.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this absolutely is not something that you like go to college and major in or something like that.
Right.
So I got into this through a combination of like existing skill set, some natural tendencies. If you know anything about the personality inventory Enneagram, have you ever heard of that?
No.
All right, it's a personality inventory. Go look it up. It's very, very interesting.
Don't look it up.
If anybody out there listening knows about Enneagram, I'm a 1-wing 2, which means that I'm like a bit of a perfectionist, an advocate.
Detail
matters, right? Okay. So that's some of like the natural tendencies of things. I am a photographer. I've had a camera in my hand from little bitty, and I haven't pursued that as fully as some of the other things from a professional capacity. But, you know, I have all these photos, and so what do you do with them? When I hear about people like backing up, and I'm using air quotes here if you're not watching the video, to Shutterfly, it's like nails on a chalkboard, right? Where people who post to social media and delete it off their phone because they think that, well, I'll get my time hop reminder or whatever, and it's backed up. It's not. And people don't understand those things.
It's backed up, but in a much less quality form. It's,
right, and you've lost all of your metadata.
Yeah.
You cannot easily retrieve it. So my goal with all of my clients is to make sure that you can access your photos, that you're confident that they're backed up and secure, and that you have a system to be able to retrieve them and not just like download one at a time, but you can retrieve your entire organized library. Mm-hmm. So most of my clients are what I would call more consumer photographers. People who are working with their personal photos versus photos that they're taking for others. And when you're taking photos for others, you're most likely not taking them on a phone. And so your workflow is going to be different. It's going to be involving a memory card, right? So in preparation for today, I reached out to a number of professional photographers and asked some of the details of their workflow. And they're like, oh, we get to like geek out over this stuff, right? So there is that part of it, right? So a lot of folks, you have redundancies right from the beginning because you're shooting with a camera body that's got multiple card slots, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
But not everybody thinks to do that, or not every camera has that option. Okay, that's a possibility. Then you're importing, then you're editing. You may be in RAW, you may just be in JPEG. And then what do you do with them moving forward? And how do you deliver them? All of those things are considerations. All right, that's more of like a professional workflow. But when you are taking them with your phone or whatever else, you don't have the same drive to that because you're not delivering them in the same capacity. And the other thing that I found really interesting, even when I reached out to a couple of pros in the last few days, they've got a professional workflow for their photos they're delivering. They've not put the same scrutiny to their own photos, to the point that maybe they only had a sync turned on and then they lost the last year's photos. Ooh. Right? Like that syncing feeling when you lose images. Oh, right?
Except for Robert Trawick.
Master.
Master. I have had an iPhone since the very first iPhone, and I have every photo backed up in the cloud and on my RAID system at home because I pull the images off my phone every month and a half.
Right.
And wipe my phone out because I take a lot of photos on my phone as well.
Right.
And so I back them up. And
yeah.
It's crazy to think the amount of images. And obviously, a lot of it is trash. Mm-hmm. Screenshots of, like, emails, yeah. that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of, like, travel photos or yeah. moment photos that were really cute. Hey, let's just take a quick shot at this restaurant. It would be hard to find those.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, because they're just in, like, it says iPhone and the day it was backed up.
Right.
But it is backed up, so I could hunt it down if I needed to.
Right.
But it's not as detailed as the client stuff that I do.
Right. So my goal is to help people create a system that follows the 3-2-1 rule. So you've got 3 copies on at least 2 different forms of media of different storage with at least one of them being offsite or in the cloud. And that's, like, your target. There are other ways, like, before you get to the optimal. But you want to make sure that they're organized and that they're accessible and retrievable. And I see accessible and retrievable as being a little bit different. Accessible is typically going to be cloud or, you know, different ways, but you can get to them. And retrievable is that you can get everything back. Mm. And there are a lot of places that once they are up in whatever the system is, it's a lot of work to get them out of there.
Well, which ones would you recommend?
So every client, I start by asking, how are you currently using your photos and how do you want to use your photos? And then we make selections of services that meet those needs. So there are a lot of people who stay within the Adobe world and use Lightroom and all of that. That's completely valid. But for the average consumer client that I work with, they aren't going to touch that. That can be a substantial investment. Mm-hmm. Then you're dealing with catalog systems and all of that. So most of my current clients, we don't even go there.
Okay.
So I recommend a 4-step process of centralizing everything, getting it all in one place on an external hard drive. Then I go through and I cull duplicates. I have a current client that I'm working with.
You're culling it?
Yep.
Oh, damn, I might need you.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, like, I'm not going through in person. Like, software helps.
Software. I was going to say, software you probably helps. Wear
software. I've got some magic software.
Yeah.
But still, it takes time, and you've got to know the settings, and you've got to know what to look for, and you've got to have things set just right. I have a current project. Friend of mine, military family. They'd been stationed overseas numerous times. 4 kids. They traveled a lot. She had backed up and backed up and backed up and backed up. To the point that I have so far deleted over 1 terabyte of duplicates.
Wow.
Okay.
But hey, I guess better that way than not back up.
Right, but it still wasn't very usable because she could, there were so many copies of things, right? Yeah. Professional photographers, same thing, right? Like, she's got a professional workflow. She's like, can you do my personal stuff? It's a hot mess. Right, she had a system for her job, but her personal stuff and 3 little kids, I you do my personal stuff. I just can't go there, right? And so some cases, 17 duplicates of the exact same image. And I'm not going through and saying, now, here's a burst of photos. This is the best smile. That's on you to choose,
right?
And so I can set things for exact match. It's not only examining metadata, but it's examining the image as well. Now, the one place that you can get off, if we're going to get into some of the technical stuff, is if it's something that you've posted to social media and then brought back down, it no longer has that metadata.
Right.
And so somehow the image, it's not able to scan it in the same way. So sometimes there are going to be a few duplicates still hanging around that you catch every once in a while.
But
you get the vast majority of them. I almost always recommend then sorting to a chronological year month system. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have specific projects they want kept out, and we can do that, right? And then once those 1, 2, 3 steps are taken, we back up to multiple places. So if we've started by creating a photo hub on an external hard drive, then we start looking at cloud sources after that. And really, my most used service is Amazon Photos.
Really?
And I was surprised by that.
I was going to ask you about Amazon Photos because I've looked into, I can't remember what it's called, but the Amazon, like, frozen server.
Like AJ or something?
Yeah, it's actually where it's a very inexpensive upload for backing up. And But then you have to pay to get it back down. But it's up there and there's no additional cost.
So I'm actually not familiar with that. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, and it's AWS.
Okay. Yes, yeah, I think
but,
so.
But in under the AWS, there's like, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Frozen or something like that. And you basically pay to upload it. But then there's no additional cost for storage.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like a server drive. But then
you have to pay to get it
back.
You
can actually like link, you can put links to like images for your website, you know,
right.
kind of deal.
So years ago when Google Photos really was popular, and it's still very, very popular, I was, oh, this is amazing. And like I'd go to Albania, I'd be like, look, these are all my photos on my phone. And like, oh, look, this was this thing from, you know, years before when I had been there and pulling stuff up and I could share it and post it and text it and whatever. Oh, that's amazing. But it still didn't allow me the organization structure that I wanted, right? Because in Google, everything goes into one place.
Right.
Correct.
If you also remember, you used to have Google Drive and Google Photos be connected, and then they parted ways. They're still under the umbrella now of Google One.
Yeah,
Google One.
Google One.
Yeah. And so
No, I think they just changed it to, wasn't it Workspace?
Yeah, it's Google Workspace.
Right, they Workspace, just rebranded again. Anyhow, it's also no longer unlimited free storage.
Yeah, they took that out.
Right. So I always say that photo storage is always going to cost you something, whether it's your time, your personal information, or your money. So it's never going to be completely free. So when you see this free unlimited photo storage, you've got to understand what you're giving in return for that. So Shutterfly has got a really smart business model that they're like, free unlimited photo storage. You lose all of your metadata.
So now it makes catalog a lot harder.
Yeah. And when you talk about that accessibility and that retrieval, man, to get things out of Shutterfly, just don't store your photos in Shutterfly. But it's really smart because when you store them with Shutterfly or any other printing service, because they're not the only one who pitches that, but they're the loudest. And they've been around the longest, and so people know about that. It's going to increase the likelihood that you print your photos with them and all of their photo products. So from a business standpoint, it's very smart. From a storage standpoint, just don't.
Yeah.
Because just don't. So Google, there were things about it I loved. They do really have a fantastic search feature. Their AI is really good. But the reason that I prefer Amazon is if you're a Prime member, you have unlimited full resolution photo storage, and it also supports RAW.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But the kicker, the kicker is that your organization that you create on your external hard drive and then add into Amazon Photos is maintained. So they have what I call four different windows for viewing your same image. So take a photo of us here together, and I take it on my phone. It's going to filter into Amazon Photos through the photo app. That's the step, first step. Okay. Now, when I'm organizing a client, I will actually take all of their photos out of Amazon Photos and put them on the external hard drive and then wipe Amazon Photos. And that's like, oh, what? You're taking them away? Yes.
But then you're going to organize it locally.
Because I organize and put into the system, and then we'll have a maintenance workflow where that is maintained moving forward.
Oh, gotcha. Okay?
And that hierarchy from the drive is maintained on.
Yes,
wow,
because
that's pretty cool.
They have Amazon Cloud Drive as well, which operates the way that like Google kind of used to, where it was Amazon, or where your photos were part of your drive. So if I go, I've taken our photo of us, I can view it through the Amazon Photos app on my phone, my iPad, whatever. And you're going to just see like your camera roll, essentially.
Right.
Okay? They also have a Cloud Drive app, so you could view it through the Cloud Drive app as well.
Okay.
They also have a desktop app, which is where I upload everything, and it's compatible for Mac and PC. And so it looks exactly the same as my external hard drive, and that's where I filter things up through there. And then you can also go to the browser and look at amazon.com/photos or /cloud drive. So you're able to see it through the phone app, through the desktop app, through the browser of /photos and through the browser of /cloud drive. So you are paying for video storage. 5 gigs is included, but 100 gigs is only $20 a year. And then it's like within pennies of paying for Dropbox when you're looking at terabytes of storage. So it's very, very affordable. And the best part is you can restore your entire photo library with one or two clicks out of Cloud Drive. I had a friend who accidentally, like, everything was completely done on her system. I hadn't done the work. She has a similar business to mine. She accidentally wiped her external hard drive. But she was able to fully restore her entire organized library out of Amazon because she had already done the work of backing it up. So we have our external hard drive, then we're going to back up to most likely Amazon, and then it's a matter of the third location, which might be Dropbox. If you want to use Google, that great, but getting it out of Google, you're going to have tons of zip folders and you're going to have a bunch of junk files, and it's just an absolute nightmare to get your images out of Google, which is why I do not recommend Google any longer, and you don't have the benefit of it maintaining your organization.
So you're talking about
look into that.
Backing up your photos. when we started talking about backup, I was thinking of, you know, your internal right. hard drive and backing up your computer. So don't forget that.
Yes.
You have to have a system for that, but that's another podcast. We've talked about it in different episodes. But while I'm speaking, I'm going to have to leave.
Okay.
I have a headshot in 30 minutes. I have to go to the house and do a headshot.
Who's taking your headshot?
No, I'm taking someone's
headshot. You've got a session.
Yes, I have a session. Sorry. So my alarm's going to go off in 2 minutes.
Okay.
But I wanted to pre-warn.
Pre-warn.
So I guess this will be a good time to leave since I've said it.
I mean, if you don't want to hang out with us anymore, that's all right.
I'm going to miss out, but I'm going to listen to it
or watch it. What you were referencing about making sure that you have your hard drives and things linked, absolutely, that is part of that. What I've described is one piece, particularly more for people who are focusing on their personal photo collection. But the same system can be implemented if you are shooting for others. But then you also have to consider, what is that workflow? How are your redundancies in place to make sure that you don't lose your personal photos, but I don't know which is worse, losing your own, but also for something you're supposed to deliver to others, right? So I do want to throw a quote in here, and this is why I brought my post-it along, because when I'm quoting somebody else, I want to make sure I get it right. Have you heard of the book Atomic Habits by James Clear?
That
came
I
out
have
in
not
2018.
Heard of.
I highly recommend it. A good place to start are the two podcast episodes he just did with Dr. Brené Brown a couple of weeks ago. Go to her Dare to Lead podcast on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't a reader as much, I mean, grab his audiobook. It's like 6 hours or something. But start with those two podcasts.
Just grab his audiobook. It's 6 hours.
Hey, like, so you can't. Are like 18 or something.
You gotta leave that out. Our listeners don't have that long of an attention span.
It's just six podcast episodes. You break it apart. It's a week of listening.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Exactly. All right. I'll go with that.
Okay.
Then.
But here's his quote: "You do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems." And I think this is a perfect example of that, because if you don't have a system in place, it doesn't matter what your goals are. If you lose your images, we live in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a storm that happens that there isn't some sort of coverage of a wedding photo ending up miles away, states away, or
like
whatever
what happened
that
in
just
Kentucky.
Happened.
Just happened
right?
in Kentucky, yes.
And I'm sure they're absolutely individuals, but there's a really good chance that somebody who shoots for others, that they lost stuff too. And so you've got to make sure that you have redundancies in place, but you can't just have them on site. Like, you can have six different drives, but if they're in the same location and something happens, it doesn't have to just be a tornado. It can be a water leak. It can be a coffee spill. It can be the dog. Yeah. It can be a toddler. It can just be that technology fails.
Right.
And you have to have redundancies in place. This isn't the sexy part of photography, but it's a really, really important part.
Yeah.
It's the geeky part, but it's also like when you're in the weeds and you, like when I called people about this, they're like, oh, we get to like geek out over this, because it does matter.
It
but
does.
It's not as fun as like,
but
ooh,
you
look
don't
at this
see,
new lens I got.
Right. You don't see people on Instagram going, look at my new backup hard drive.
Yeah.
Right.
I just got my
you
new backup hard drive. Look how sexy this is. No one cares.
We could start a trend.
You know what?
We'll come up with a hashtag.
Right.
Sexy
right.
backup.
Right. Or sex.
I can see a
or no.
I can see a lot of sexy back, and people are going to forget that.
No, 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 no. Oh, okay, God. Well, it does have an explicit
and then, and, the then podcast, be, and then it'll so. Be sexy back down. Sexy nope, back okay, front.
We're just gonna stop that.
All right, well, Jim's going to take off. Go get his headshot done. I'm going to plug you up.
See you next time, peeps.
All right. He's gonna unplug and jet.
My microphone.
He has the cool microphone. But Jim is quite the busy guy. So if you guys need headshots, remember to call Robert Trawick because I'm not as busy.
Well, it was great to meet you. Great to meet you. We will talk more later.
All right. Love you, bud. See you later.
See you.
Okay, so that was awesome, and I'm kind of liking that hashtag. Hey, let me sit on this side.
I shouldn't improvise.
I'm gonna move over here to the side so we can have a better visual. Oh my God, my legs were cramping on that little stool. Oh, Jen just set up a little bit better. Okay, so speaking of the backup systems, and before, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you a new business model.
Okay.
I'm
going
to give you a new business idea.
Okay.
I don't want to do it yet because other listeners have heard it. You may have heard it on some episodes, but probably not. So let's talk about this ebook you have out.
I do have an ebook out, yeah.
And it just got released. It just dropped like last. Is that what the kids call it? They call it drop.
Sure, they drop, yeah.
It just dropped last week. So fill us in on the on the PDF.
Right.
Now, did you do it as a PDF book or a...
It's a PDF.
Or a EPUB?
It's a PDF.
Okay. I'm just asking because I use iBooks on my system all the time. And if it's an EPUB, I can actually write annotations with it. Where you can't do that with PDF unless I bring it into like PDF Writer or something like that.
Right. No, I kept it as a PDF.
Okay. Makes it easy for everybody.
That's right. Because the point is for things to be accessible.
Is it Kindle related?
No, it has nothing to do with Kindle, Robert.
All right. So tell us about that.
So we have photo organizing, digitizing, and design under the umbrella of Scissortail Digital.
Right? Yes.
So this falls under the design piece. So, but I'm also going to connect it to the photo organizing. So Album Stomp.
Yes.
You've heard of Blog Stomp?
Absolutely. And that's been around for...
It has been for a while.
15, 16 years?
I think they started the company in like 2006, if I'm right. Yeah, about that.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. So that has actually been changed over to Storytailer. Blog Stomp is now Storytailer. And I've gotten to know the founder of Stomp Software, Chip Gillespie.
He's still alive. Just joking.
About my age. Yeah.
In 15 years, a lot happens in photography, okay?
Yeah. So Chip's in Houston. And it's a small company, and my ebook is all about using Album Stomp.
Oh, great.
Which is
now renamed.
Blog Stomp was renamed. Okay. Album Stomp is an album design platform. And Chip is a wedding photographer, and they were shooting like 100 weddings a year. And you've got to have some efficiency if you're going to turn around that kind of volume, right? So that was what drove them to create some solutions. So Stomp Software is all about creating practical photo solutions. And whether you're shooting weddings or you're trying to design your family yearbook or graduate, whatever it is, I call it a photos first approach because it's completely different than any other album design platform out there.
Oh, I haven't used it, so tell me about it.
Yeah, so you can also go to my Instagram, and I've got a short video that shows how to use it. But you can just grab the ebook, and it has links to all the videos.
And we're going to put all those links in the show notes, so you'll be able to get them. We'll drop it on the YouTube video as well. So. Yeah,
and I have a blog post that coincides with this podcast episode, and so you can find all of the links there as well.
Oh, isn't she efficient?
Hey, I got to live up to the organized part, right? So let's say that you want to spread with 7 images. You select the images, you literally drag and drop them and toggle through. It automatically creates your designs, and then you can adjust the layout. You can easily swap photos. It's super, super fast. Chip actually put out a video of creating a 20-page album in 2 minutes.
I like that.
Yeah. And whether you're a professional photographer or you're designing for yourself.
Right, you're doing like a year in review of your family trips, something like that.
Whatever it is, this can make it so much more efficient. Because if you're a photographer who's trying to turn around volume of work, your efficiency matters. If you're a mom who has kids, all of the things happening, efficiency matters. And wherever you fall in between,
Album Stomp has completely changed the way that I design albums. So
you design albums as well?
Yeah.
For people?
Yeah.
So that falls under your umbrella?
Yep, of design.
Wow. So what is it that you don't do under that umbrella?
Currently, I am not providing sessions for others. I'm not shooting images. My work under Scissortail Digital starts when somebody else has already clicked the shutter.
Oh, awesome. But we're going to add those photo shoots later.
Yeah,
those
other things are coming. But for
now. Well, I mean, because you would want to have like a current photo of the family for their album for 2022.
Right. But you could just add that on. I work remotely with people all over the country. I'm not just working with Oklahoma clients. The majority of my clients are outside of Oklahoma because I'm able to work remotely via screen share.
Well, you know, we did fashion photography remotely during 2020. Did you ever see any of that?
No.
I can't remember. I think it was either Vogue or Elle magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The cover was shot remotely via Zoom.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could totally do that. Like, okay, move me a little bit to the left, move it to the right.
Yeah.
That might be a little difficult, but I'm sure you would travel.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, she's being very modest. She's quite the accomplished photographer.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've covered backup a little bit.
Yeah.
We've covered design albums.
Right. So the other thing that comes with this, I walk you through step by step. It's under 20 pages. Like, it's not hard to figure out, but it's a different workflow than what you're probably used to. Because we're typically accustomed to either just taking the images in and working from scratch or working with templates.
Right.
And they did start in working in Photoshop, and so they started like to create templates and things from that, and then they changed the workflow entirely, and they're now at Album Stomp 2. And I will also say that I love how receptive they are to feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on the phone with Chip yesterday. We were having an issue with a formatting piece, and he was like, great, I'm going to take that to our developer team this week, and we're going to work at finding a solution to that.
But you can get that with a small company.
You can.
With larger companies, I mean, they may be open to suggestions.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's going to funnel to the developers.
Right. And I also recognize, like, I have his phone number. It doesn't come with the purchase of the software, right? But
we'll be posting Chip's phone number online.
But when you purchase the ebook, you also get a code for a 30% discount on Album Stomp, which is $99. So that's a nice savings.
Oh, that's a great savings.
And that's better than this discount code that you'll find like on their social media and stuff like that right now. So you can get 30% off with my code. And also Album Proofer. So if you are designing albums for others,
that's
Album Stomp is a one-time purchase. Album Proofer is a $49 annual subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way to be able to deliver your albums to your clients. They can check on each spread and give feedback on each spread if there need to be any changes or whatever made, and you get the approval, and it's secure. So that's a fantastic service.
Can they click on an image, like maybe X an image and say, hey, can you change this one out?
No, they would just leave comments. There's a comment box.
A lot of times, you know, the comments that we, or the way we talk as photographers in mm-hmm. changing out images, is it the way a family talks?
Right.
And sometimes I've had to call them up and say, listen, I've looked at the comments, but like, which one do you mean?
Or, no, and that's good feedback. Like, I'll take that to Chip.
You know, because if they could actually like click an image and put an X on it.
And it would have a number.
And it would have a number. You could say change image number one.
Yeah, no, that's good feedback.
You know, especially when you do the layouts and you're doing vertical, horizontal, squares.
Right.
They'll go, oh, can you take this image out, but put the one where, and it's like, okay, well, that's a horizontal. This one's a vertical.
Right.
Now I'm going to have to crop or redesign that page.
Right.
So it would be nice to have some kind of note like that.
Those edits can happen pretty easily with an mm-hmm. Album Stomp. So you can drag the edges.
Like the mask, basically, of it.
Yes, you can adjust, and you can also click within it and change your aspect ratio. So if you want to lock it in there, you mm-hmm. can as well. So hopefully that would make those edits not terribly complicated. But then the other thing that I love that they offer for photo organizing is a new JPEG compression optimizing software called Space Saver. So if you have an image and it's like 11, 12 megabytes or something, uh-huh. you can run it through Space Saver, and you're not going to lose any of your resolution or image quality, and you'll probably see it at about 3 to 5 megabytes.
Is this using that new JPEG 2000 format, do you know?
I don't think so. There's,
you know what I'm talking about, right? It came out, well, did it come out in 2000 or, I think they called it JPEG 2000.
Okay.
It came out in like 2006 or 2007, where it's a new JPEG, but it just never caught on.
No, it's not that. Like, they've got their own proprietary wizardry.
Ooh.
And there was someone, professional photographer, who just wrote a full review. I'll link that on the blog post as well, that you can see. And like, they've got charts and graphs and show like how Space Saver stacks up to similar services,
mm-hmm.
And why they preferred Space Saver.
Yeah, that'd be good, because photographers love to look at charts, but we're still going to go with the cheapest one.
No, and this is $49, and it's a one-time purchase, right? So when you're talking about storage, and you're paying for cloud storage, you're paying for SSDs, you're paying for all of these things, like, storage gets expensive. So you're not going to be able to cut down your RAW files, but your JPEGs, you can cut down on how much storage space they take. So most consumers, you're going to just be shooting JPEG. Dandy. All of your photos suddenly are going to take less storage space, which is fantastic.
It's going to save you money.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a simple way to work into your workflow and save you space and save you money.
My God. Well, that sounds excellent. So,
yeah.
You know, while we're on the conversation, you have an ebook out.
I do.
You've got a blog, and you're doing all this fancy stuff remotely. Have you thought about teaching any workshops for photographers on backup systems?
Yeah, that's probably coming in 22.
That's in 2 weeks, by the way. It's a week and a half,
right?
Just FYI.
Doesn't mean it's launching January 1st, but I do provide one-on-one coaching. So I can either do the work for you. With a professional photographer, we would most likely need to be working together on that, right? So I can come in and I can organize all your photos for you, or we can work together and I'll do some coaching. You'll have some homework, or I can also recommend a course that will just show you how to do it. But again, for professional photographers, you can follow the centralized delete duplicates, all of that, but putting a system in place for your workflow is a little separate than working with existing photos, right? So, but that's what the coaching is for. So that's already there, and we can walk through and find solutions that'll work for you.
And they can get all that information off your
website. All on the website, scissortaildigital.com.
That's easy. And we're going to put all those links in the show notes.
All in the show notes.
It'll be easy.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Okay, so, we're in like 42 minutes of chit-chatting.
Well, and we can cover that just in a morning of Voxer messages.
Oh my God, yes. We chat offline a lot. All right, so I'm going to give you a business proposition.
Okay.
Proposition. That sounded bad after we did the
hashtag.
Backup. Mm-hmm. Sexy backup. All right, so, and I've actually brought this to other people in the industry. This is not a secret.
Okay.
And I don't want to do it because I don't have the resources, but this is right into your area.
Okay.
All right. So I'm a professional photographer, and in my system right now, backed up, I can find any image I shot for a client in 10 minutes or less, going all the way back to 2009.
Yeah.
Okay. Very easily. So without going too much detail, my workflow at the house, I have a network server that has a backup. I have a Drobo RAID system that's a backup, and both of those are uploaded to the cloud, which is another backup system. Here's the problem I see as a professional photographer. I love my children. They don't really care about my photography. The people that I have photographed over time doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
So the day that I die and don't pay for that online service, those images disappear in a click of a blink.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go into my office and they're going to look at these hard drives and probably trash them or give them to their friends that are going to get wiped and formatted in one click. And the computer's going to have the same thing. So all of the images that I have, it's not going to be physical where, you know, my aunt is 80. And she is very active for 80. She runs a very successful company.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be too much later than not that I'm going to have to go and take care of her in North Carolina. And while she's done some purging, there are boxes and boxes and slides of images. So when you look at that, it's harder to throw that away than it is to take an electronic hard drive and just pitch it in the trash, and it could have thousands of images on it. So here's the proposition. I would love a company that would provide me free online backup for my life. Okay? Because who doesn't want free?
Yeah.
Right? Here's where the company makes its money on the back end after I'm dead. I sign over my copyright to that company for the images they have backed up.
Oh. Okay.
So once I'm dead, then that company owns those images, and they can either reach out to those clients directly and resell those images or set them up as stock photography or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's a long tail investment, but I mean, you get a couple of like the photographers from Metro Camera, which we affectionately call God's Waiting Room, and that could only be like a 2-year, 3-year return. It could be pretty quick.
Right, but I would suspect that there might be personal images that your family might not entirely be on board with those being within the public domain or stock.
Well, yeah, but that would be something where I'm thinking on the professional side.
Okay.
So think of it like Trawick Images or a business enters a contractual agreement with ABC Storage.
Right.
That you'll take over the copyright. And then here's the thing. A lot of photographers are going to go, no, I don't want that happening because I have, you know, residual income from like gallery or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, those just all get uploaded to that system.
Right.
But, I mean, routinely, I'm shooting 250,000 images a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that
for there to be something that happens. Well, interestingly,
my focus
for first quarter is legacy. Yes, yes.
Is that going to be another PDFs?
We'll see. Look, my goal is to help people actually use their photos. I think the projection was 1.4 trillion images to be taken in 2021, just this year. That's a lot of photos.
It is.
And then you combine that with the fact that a lot of those have emotion attached to them and they matter.
Right.
You can get overwhelmed pretty quickly because you don't know where to start. Right. So that's part of the drive of this business is to help people sort that out. And it's also way easier to help somebody else with their images than have to deal with your own sometimes. Right.
Yes, so it is.
I have more objectivity when I'm working with somebody else's images because they aren't my stories and memories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's part one. And then what you're talking about is like all of this stuff. What do you do with it? Well, some of it you digitize so that it is more accessible. Right. So that's another service I provide. But but it comes down to people actually being able to use and enjoy their photos because so many of them, they just like languish on a hard drive. Or even if you've invested and prioritized professional photography, maybe you post a couple to social media, maybe you print them, maybe you don't, but get them into photo books. Like, the likelihood that you will engage with them is far greater when it's tactile.
Now, yes, I believe that to be true, but I almost think that's our generation. Like my kids take, I guess in my mind, I feel that if you have a phone and you're going to use that, my kids basically use their phone as their, I've given them great cameras.
Yeah.
And they just use their phone because it's convenient. And that's how they've grown up. They're internet natives. They grew up on the internet. And I try and explain to them, like, if you took the time to take it out of your pocket and take a photo, even if it's a silly photo, it had some link to an emotion to it, and you should take the time to back that stuff up. And my youngest one, Shannon, love her to death, but she goes through phones the way most people do socks and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, eh, it's no big deal.
Well, and some things you're not going to learn until you get to a point where you lose something of value. So some things you just have to
Great value.
Right. Lessons are going to have to just come along. I mean, there were things that we didn't value that our parents' generation, whatever. Like, that's part of life.
If I had my freaking LPs and 45s and my baseball cards, I'd have kept those.
You'd be wealthy.
I would be wealthy right now.
But you also have to use technology to your advantage to automate things as much as possible so that it isn't this like cumbersome workflow of having to plug in and like and that's perhaps a generational thing. It's also just an efficiency. Like, we value automation and things being as easy as possible too. So even just like, where do you start? Because there are so many options. That's why I do what I do.
I would love, for 2022, we're focusing a lot more on education.
Yeah.
And there have been some talks, and we're going to have to bring you in on those talks. Basically, we are putting together a business workshop for photographers.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. There's a lot of education opportunities to learn to shoot.
Yeah.
And the fallacy happens when people are not shooting professionally. They're shooting part-time. I don't care if they're doing part-time. Weekend
warrior. When you're shooting for others, that you're delivering to others
when you're delivering all the time. And you make that transition from part-time to full-time, you think you're going to shoot more when in fact you actually shoot less. So you're only doing 20% shooting, but you're doing 80% marketing to get your next client, backing up storage. So there isn't a lot of great opportunities to learn as a beginner how to go in this with your eyes wide open of what the expectation is.
Yeah.
And I feel like we talked earlier about the sexiness of certain things of professional photography. Mm-hmm. No one finds backup sexy.
No.
It's so the they don't dive part. Into it.
Right.
But it's so important because you just mentioned it. It's the overwhelming thing. You go into business, you start shooting, you slam stuff on a hard drive, and then 3 years later, you're looking at all of these mismatched, unorganized images that you don't want to throw away because it's client work, but now you really want to organize it and you are stressed.
Yeah.
So they just need to call you.
They do. Well, and even for me, like, I was just on a Zoom call with people last night talking about that there's the client work I do, and then there's the building of my business and all of the other things, right? So I'm marking off the end of the year and the first week because it's also my birthday at the beginning of the year. So we're taking...
Well, when's your birthday?
January 7th.
It's oh, that's right. We talked about that because you had the same birthday as my daughter, Shannon.
That's right.
Yes. That's Three Kings Day in Spain, FYI.
That's right. Yeah. I turned 40.
And they actually celebrate in Albania, by the way.
Yes. Just, they like a party.
They love a party.
If all there's of a reason Europe, to celebrate.
All of Europe loves a party.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of, we've adopted Christmas. Yeah. Let's drink on that.
I spent an hour on TV talking about the traditions of Halloween when I, shortly after I moved to Albania, they're like, you're American. You celebrate Halloween. I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, I was on a local talk show.
Tell us about Halloween. But no, how much do we get to drink?
Yeah, no. Albania doesn't have religious conflict. They are Albanian above everything else. And you've got a party, you've got a celebration. Sure, I'm in.
I'm in there. So for our photo workshop tour we do over there, we need to get Budweiser to sponsor it. Or actually Heineken. Well, Heineken probably better.
We'll get the local Korcha brewery.
Okay.
There we go.
We're going to get a tour of that, right?
Yeah.
Good. I want to see who's going to fall in the vat.
And then we'll have Raki. You know Raki? It's like their moonshine.
No.
I actually have a bottle at home. It's the homebrewed stuff. We'll get together. We'll have some Raki. We'll do a Raki tasting. Yeah, that's like on the itinerary I've written is like doing a Raki tasting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like their brandy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Okay. Is it moonshine or is it brandy?
Well, it depends on how it's.
If it's
described.
Brandy, they've had to like work a little bit harder at that than an American moonshine.
Well, it depends on if it's the homebrew stuff that comes in a water bottle. Like, you don't just pick up a plastic water bottle in Albania. Like, you gotta
give it a little sniff first.
Yeah,
you gotta see if the plastic is being eroded from the inside.
Right. Yeah. I was sick when I was there once, and an Albanian said, "Come on over," and brewed up a large serving of raki boiled with sugar, and had me have my feet in really hot water, and I had to like this much of raki. I was there for a little bit, but I slept really well that night.
Oh, what bet you slept great?
Yep.
Hashtag sexy backup.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that covered everything pretty good. We got almost an hour podcast in, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that we are friends.
Absolutely.
I think it's great. So if you want to see some more of her, you can stop by and see her at any of the Metro PPA Thirsty Thursdays. That's why I met her at, as she is like, you know.
After PhotoCon.
After PhotoCon. So that's going to be pretty good. So just because we love to break news, there will be no PhotoCon this March in Oklahoma City. It will be in October of 2022.
Like it was this year.
Like it was this year. But we had talked about having a live in virtual event.
Yes.
In March, but we have since scratched that. Bedford's gave me the word yesterday, and they'll be pushing just the in-person one next October.
Yeah.
And then there's some great news behind that that I can't share publicly because...
We'll talk later.
But we'll talk later.
And then come back for an update.
Let's just say when you see the official registration for PhotoCon 2022... You better get your tickets because it's going to be off the chain.
Well, 21 was pretty good.
21 was pretty good.
But we're leveling up.
Oh, it's seriously level up.
Okay.
It is. When I tell you, you're going to go, ah! It's going to be crazy. It's okay. Going to be great. God, it'd be really good to have you speak at that, too. That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's backup.
The important thing, I think, when people have questions, whether you're getting into this or you've been at it for a while and you're overwhelmed, is to have a conversation, right?
Right.
And so I'm happy to have those conversations. Love to sit down with a cup of coffee. And it doesn't matter if you're Oklahoma or not. Like, that's what technology is for. We can connect and do screen share and all of that jazz and find solutions because you don't have to figure this out all on your own. Like, people have come before you and figured it out. And there are a ton of people that I learn from.
I love it. Okay, yeah. So before we head out, what would you like to leave our listeners with? Give them some advice. Now, not everybody's a professional photographer. No. We have photographers of all kind.
Yeah,
but absolutely. What advice would...
So we're going into the holidays.
Yes, we are.
So I'll try to gear it specifically to that. And this is, I'm giving you the advice that I'm trying to give myself going into this.
Oh, that's right? Really hard.
Because I'm the photographer in the family, right? And if I don't set intentions around photography, there's a good chance those things won't be captured.
Right.
So what I'm trying to go into the holidays with is thinking ahead to what stories do I want to capture.
Okay.
We're all going to be at my parents. My nephews are almost 2 and yes. 6 and a half. And also... They love that I'm a photographer, and Luke especially, he's the six-year-old. He's learned how to use my cameras from a very, very young age. Like, we had a whole family trip to Australia a couple of years ago, and he knew every single one of my cameras. He knew how to plug them in and charge them, and he's a fantastic assistant. There's a fun photo of him on my website. He loves to use the gear, and his little brother's coming up right behind him. He grabs the GoPro and runs all over, so... I want to be intentional about capturing like that Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And so making stuff, just planning ahead, making sure that stuff is charged, that your cards are clear. Just do a little prep work now before the end of the week and whatever your holiday schedule looks like so that you're not frantic about it. So much of this work about organizing is having a plan in place so that you can enjoy the process of creating and enjoying those images and that you aren't frantic and whatever reason brought that about, right? So think ahead and have a shot list in your mind and then set it up so that that can happen. That means having your camera at your side or setting something up and have a remote or just set up a camera and let it record and then be done with it and be present as mm-hmm. much as possible, right? So plan ahead a little bit and it can pay off.
I do love that advice because a lot of people don't do that. And then it'll happen at the last minute where it's like, oh, hey, we'll get your camera out. We're going to open up presents. Like, well, my battery's not charged. I need to import this card because I didn't import it yet. I got to do this. I need 20 minutes that winds up turning into 40 minutes robber time. And then so if you do it like a few hours before, a few days before and be prepared.
Yeah.
And honestly, Christmas mornings, my kids are grown, so I don't really have that moment anymore, but you know, setting up your camera on I don't even do the videos. I just do like the time, what do you call it,
the time lapse. Sure.
Have it go off people every 5 minutes everywhere. People are flying everywhere.
Yeah,
it works good.
Well, and be aware of what the lighting's going to be mm-hmm. and what time of day are, you know, where are you positioning things, where are the windows. Just be aware of those things, and sometimes we take that stuff for granted, is always knowing. But no matter what your experience level is, like, taking those things into consideration is going to mean that you are more satisfied with your result.
Wow, that's...
just a little bit of planning. And hey, like I said, this is me telling me what I'm needing to hear, right? Because I've done all of those things too, of like, oh crap, like I didn't try out in the car, just like, yeah, all of those things. And then you're frantic and stressed and you want the images and the other people want them in the long run, but they're less invested at the moment. And
oh, they are, because they're opening up presents.
Yeah.
They don't really care about the photos, but then after they get that one picture that, you know, they want to put on their TikTok so they can be famous, that they got the Gucci boots, then it's like, well, where's that picture? Oh, well, that's blurry.
Right.
Or the photo isn't that great. Now you've just completely ruined Christmas for them because they can't brag to their friends on TikTok.
I want to give just a couple of quick practical tips.
Oh, no, absolutely.
So practical if you're on an iPhone... you may not know about HEIC format.
Oh, God, please talk about that. Please, please talk about it.
Okay, so we all know that Apple likes to make things proprietary and more complicated. So HEIC format is an optimized image format that only works within the Apple ecosystem. And it's starting to be accepted a few more places. But you take those images and they're just don't. Go into your camera settings to the format, change it to most compatible, which will make it be JPEG format again. So if you have an iPhone, please change from HEIC. Now, if you already have shot a lot in HEIC because you didn't realize that, there is a free converter that I use. Go to iMazing HEIC converter. There's a link to it on my website. Go to my links page, scissortaildigital.com/links.
Wow, it's you've done this before.
Yeah, I have. So you can easily just drop things in there, hit convert, and it will automatically convert those to JPEG. It's completely free, and that's what I use. Another hack is if you use Dropbox on your phone to funnel your images from your phone to your computer, it will automatically convert them from HEIC to JPEG, so you don't have to do that.
I did not know that.
So that's another workflow that I will use sometimes. Again, like I'm always asking people what they're currently using and how we want to change things. So some people, we might not run your images through Amazon Photos to get them onto your computer. We might run them through Dropbox. If you have a bunch of HEIC, that can be an advantage. One of the advantages of running through Amazon, though, your phone photos will automatically be renamed to the date stamped into the file name.
Oh, so it pulls up the metadata from the capture.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be nice because the name of the iPhone images
is... yeah, it's just like IMG, da, 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 or whatever.
Well, yeah, but it depends on what you do because I have several phone apps that I use depending on what I'm shooting. And, like, the naming structure is crazy. And especially if someone sends you an image and it happens to have the same file name as one you're already in your library, it changes to, like, XYZ, MK, whatever. It's really nuts.
Right. So that's one of the nice things. So I actually go over those things of getting started in Amazon Photos and some of those benefits. Mm-hmm. If you go and subscribe to my email newsletter, which I don't spam, just you get occasional things, you get my free PDF straight to your inbox that gets you started. And I haven't said this publicly yet. You get an exclusive here.
An exclusive, yes.
Coming in first quarter, I don't have an exact launch date.
Hashtag sexy backup.
Is a full detailed course on using Amazon Photos. Not just getting started, but like the full
Now, is that going to be on your website? Is that going to be on like Skillshare or something like that, some other format?
It'll be self-hosted. It'll be on my website. It'll be affordable, but it'll be videos and PDF combination. Like you'll have lifetime access. And as things change, I'll update it. So it'll be a one-time purchase. And it will walk you through all of the features of using it in part of a professional workflow or for your personal workflow, whether you are just using your phone or you're using assorted gear. They also have like a family vault feature so you can have multiple people filtering to the same account.
Even
you
if they don't have the Amazon Prime?
It'll cover all of those specifics.
Okay. It will cover everything. So go look for that soon.
Yeah.
Coming to her website soon.
Soon.
That'll be good. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah.
Great information. Really loved it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to more interaction on Voxer and at the next Thirsty Thursday.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, guys. We'll put everything in the show notes. Be sure to go to her website, Scissortail Digital.com.
You can also find me at Instagram and Facebook at Scissortail Digital.
Oh, I love that. She needs to have your own podcast. You got the voice for it. I got the gear.
I'll be on somebody else's for now, so I don't have one more piece to edit.
Oh, yes, that's very nice. All right, well, we're going to be out of here. It's great seeing you. Go get the information on the YouTube video below or on the podcast show notes. So you guys have fun, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube Photo Facts channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.